It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. You're tuned into Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 44 degrees under sunny skies. Today is Thursday, May 1st, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. A brown bear frequenting trash cans on Granite Creek was shot and killed Tuesday night. According to police dispatch records, a call came in Tuesday afternoon reporting that someone in the Granite Creek area was shooting at a bear. Police referred the call to Alaska Fish and Wildlife troopers, who responded and found the bear dead in the woods not far from Granite Creek Road. The case remains open and under investigation. Troopers were unable to return calls by deadline for this story. According to posts on the Facebook page Sitka Bear Report, bears have been active in the Granite Creek area since April 5th. Posts from witnesses also suggest that a number of people were involved in the shooting. Winter troll fishing wrapped up last night at midnight, and fishermen had one of their better winter seasons in recent years. As of midday yesterday, trollers had landed nearly 47,000 king salmon, far more than the 26,000 landed by this time last year, and well above the five-year average. Troll fish management biologist Patty Scannis says this year's harvest is right on target. The guideline harvest level for winter kings is between 43,000 and 47,000, so-called treaty kings, or all fish not produced in Alaska hatcheries and which are subject to the terms of the U.S. Treaty with Canada. Scannis estimates that about 3,000 of this winter's 47,000 fish harvest were produced in Alaska hatcheries. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game will have better numbers once all fish tickets are in from processors around the region. Price this winter peaked at over $11 per pound, but dropped as weather improved and more fishermen headed out to the grounds. At one point in mid-April, some trollers were landing over 30 kings per day. A slate of shareholders with business backgrounds is trying to unseat four incumbents on Sea Alaska's board of directors. Margaret Nelson, Carlton Smith, Ross Soboloff, and Karen Togg announced their candidacies on Wednesday. They call their slate Four Shareholders for Sea Alaska. Spokesman Randy Wanamaker says the candidates are worried about Sea Alaska's poor performance.
With the information that the last dividend was not really based on Sea Alaska's earnings, perhaps it's time for new ideas and new energy, new talent to provide their expertise to the company for the shareholders to consider to help move the company towards profitability.
Candidate Carlton Smith runs a commercial real estate company. Karen Togg is controller for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. Ross Soboloff is a former Sea Alaska spokesman. And Margaret Nelson is business development manager for a construction company. Wanamaker says the slate supports term limits for Sea Alaska board members.
It ensures that there's always a continuous flow of new ideas into the company and new energy, and we bring in new experience.
The slate also wants to link executive bonuses to business success, and it says it will pay more attention to shareholder suggestions. Members are challenging four powerful incumbents on the Regional Native Corporation's 13-member board. They include Byron Mallott, a former Sea Alaska CEO who is running for governor, Rosita Worrell, who heads up the corporation's Cultural Institute, Ed Thomas, who has spent nearly three decades as Tlingit Haida Central Council president, and Sydney Edenshaw, a director of the Haida Corporation. Sea Alaska spokeswoman Nicole Hollingstad says corporate law keeps her from commenting on the board slate before ballots become available, but she says it's well within tradition.
This independent proxy is an example of shareholders who are exercising their rights as shareholders as set forth by the state of Alaska and by Sea Alaska's own bylaws.
Proxy ballots will go to the corporation's almost 22,000 shareholders on May 15th. Other independent candidates have also indicated they will run. Election results will be announced at the June 28th annual meeting in Seattle. And Juneau City officials are hoping to address Juneau's long-standing housing shortage by opening more public land to development. The Juneau Planning Commission recently recommended about 150 acres of city-owned land on Pedersen Hill be rezoned to allow a residential neighborhood to be built. The idea is to copy the early 20th century style subdivisions of downtown Juneau and Douglas, but not everybody is happy about the proposal. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
I'm following Greg Cheney through the woods at the base of Pedersen Hill. as we climb over downed trees, stumps, and piles of deer poop. It's hard to imagine this as the site of a residential neighborhood, but that's exactly what Cheney envisions here.
It's very reminiscent of downtown. If you go from the waterfront up to the Capitol building, there's kind of a gentle hill, and that's the kind of terrain that we have here.
Cheney is lands and resources manager for the city and borough of Juneau. When the city decides to buy or sell some property, he's the guy responsible for making it happen. In the past decade, Juneau has sold about 30 lots in the Lena Point area to private builders, many of which have been developed into high-end single-family homes. The city recently put two more Lena lots on the market. Cheney says Pedersen Hill could be the location of the city's next land sale.
We really have a strong mandate from the community to try to do something to provide entry-level housing or workforce housing. So that's where we're going to try to come in and facilitate something.
The Lena Point subdivision includes lot sizes up to 66,000 square feet. Cheney says the Pedersen Hill proposal is for lots a tenth that size or smaller, more like Star Hill or the Flats neighborhoods downtown.
When you're developing a subdivision, the more houses you can put in that subdivision, the less it costs per unit for roads, water, sewer, streetlights, all the improvements. So there's a real advantage to doing that a little bit higher density. It also makes for a more walkable neighborhood.
Pedersen Hill is located between the Mendenhall River and Auk Lake near Glacier Highway. Right now, there's no road access to the city's property, something that would have to be figured out before any development takes place. Optimistically, Cheney says land could be ready for sale to private builders in the next 2 years, but realistically, he says it will take a lot longer than that.
There's so many public hearings that are required and permitting. We have to go through the Army Corps of Engineers. We have to have DOT agree. We have to work out with the adjacent landowners to get access. It's amazing how much work it is to put something on the ground, especially if you're on the government side, because you have a lot of oversight.
When all is said and done, Cheney thinks a few hundred lots could be part of the Pedersen Hill development. According to the Juneau Economic Development Council, the city could add more than 500 new single-family homes and about 200 new rental units across the borough without significantly impacting the housing market. At a recent Juneau Assembly meeting, Exit Realty's Mike Band said the biggest need is for single-family starter homes priced between $250,000 and $300,000. Ban is part of a group of local stakeholders formed by the Assembly to provide input on housing issues.
It's getting harder and harder and harder to find those homes. And as it gets more and more difficult, people, you know, young families typically are going to move on.
But not everyone is thrilled about the idea of developing Pedersen Hill. Jim Sidney owns Swampy Acres, a farm and feed store that butts up against the city's property.
I built on the very back of my property, and if you look out my window here in the dining room, you can see the trees right there, and that's right at the beginning of these little lots that they want to put in. That's it right there, because the ditch is about my property line.
Sidney's wife's family homesteaded the area around the same time as the Pedersen family, for which the hill is named. He says a high-density neighborhood nearby would change the character of the area. Remnants of the old Pedersen dairy farm are still standing in a field near the hill.
Yeah, there's something left of the milk parlor, which is where my father-in-law met my my mother-in-law.
Sidney has worked in construction over the years and says he's not opposed to more housing, but he worries about people disturbing his farm and says he'll ask the city to put up a fence whenever development gets underway. He says he's not worried about his livestock, but says Pedersen Hill is habitat for a variety of wildlife.
Very large wildlife corridor. They come down here, go across to Douglas and over to Admiralty, and I've seen wolves back here, coyotes, foxes, deer, moose. Only one moose.
Cheney says the city will work to alleviate some of those habitat issues.
We'll try to leave as much forest as we can in doing the development when we get around to the development. Right now we're just talking about a rezone. So it's just the broad template of what we're going to do.
Right now, Pedersen Hill is zoned for low-density development. The proposed rezone must be approved by the Assembly, which could vote on the issue sometime in the next 2 months. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. We're coming up on 1 minute before 8 a.m. You can listen to or read most Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. If you would like to read comments on our stories on Facebook, you can click on the Facebook link. You don't need a registration or login. And if you'd like to have KCAW News headlines tweeted directly to your smartphone, tablet, or computer, just go ahead and click on the Twitter link. 44 degrees in downtown Sitka under clear and sunny skies. Should be mostly sunny today in our listening region, except in Cake and Angoon, where clouds are forecast. Temperatures today in the low 60s. In Sitka and Port Alexander specifically, outlook is sun today with highs around 62 and north winds 10 miles per hour. Should be mostly clear tonight with lows around 41 and northeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And sunny tomorrow with highs around 60. A couple of Muskeg messages here. Port Alexander hens are looking for a Sitka rooster. You can call 907-568-2266. And Jeff with the Sitka Arts Council would like to speak to the new ballroom dancer in town. Jeff's number is 747-4821. Let's take a quick look at the community calendar, which is online at our website, kcaw.org. May is National Bike Month, and Sitka is celebrating with a variety of events. You can contact Charles at 738-8875 if you'd like more information. Pioneers of Alaska is holding its regular potluck and meeting today at Sitka Methodist Church at 5:30. Men's Igloo 22 will host the event in honor of Mother's Day. The program for the May 1st meeting of the FASD Community Support Group will be 22 things that parents must know about kids with FASD that will save heartache, hassle, and the emotional fallout of trial and error. The meeting will be at 6 p.m. today at the Pioneer Home Manager's House. You can call 747-7978 for more information. Sitka High School's varsity baseball team is playing Ketchikan today, 7 p.m. at Moeller Field. The last Sitka High School parent organizational meeting for the graduation parties today, 7 to 8 p.m. at the Kikuchihin Library. Email sitkaseniors2014@gmail.com. And it's just about 8:01. We're heading into NPR and then local interview at 8:18. I hope you can join us for that, and I hope you have a great morning.